All things in heaven and earth are full of voices bearing witness for the living God. The whole universe, human history, governments, philosophy, science, art, and institutions are witnessing for God. This is a quote coming to you from the Biblical Illustrator. Isaiah 43, verses 10 through 12 says, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Now, opening up in this passage, God is speaking. He is speaking to the people of Israel. He says, "Ye are my witnesses." He is summoning his people Israel to bear witness to him. He's challenging them to come forward and testify. "Ye are my witnesses." And he has two aspects on which he wants them to come forward on. First of all, he had given them predictions of future events which had been literally fulfilled. They were witnesses to that. And secondly, they had experienced his power in delivering them so often. He had shown them that he was a God able to save. And neither of these two things, the foretelling of future events and having them fulfilled, or the delivering power, had been done by the idol gods. "Ye, the Israelites, are my witnesses." And then he went on to say, "And my servant, whom I have chosen." Now, the commentaries seem to agree that God is referring to the prophet Isaiah, or to the prophets in general, or even some say to the Messiah. "Ye are my witnesses." God is bringing this forth, and it's brought forth throughout the Bible. He was saying to Israel that, "I have foretold all things, I have decreed and settled all things from the beginning. Now I challenge you, I urge you to bear testimony to the fact that I am the Lord, I am God, I am your God. Ye are my witnesses." He is saying to them, "I have been a none such to you." I love that word, none such. It means a person without equal. "I have been a none such to you. You have tried other gods. Have you found any of them all sufficient to you, or any of them like me?" And then he went on to say, "That you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." You know, this is God's heart. This is his desire for his people, that they would know him, that you would know me, that you would have a competent knowledge, a firm persuasion, a clear perception of me, and then that you would believe me, you would confide in me and trust in me, and understand that I am he. You would understand by the testimonies and the evident proofs of my deity and the prediction of future events and the accomplishment of them. You would understand that I am he. The God of Israel and of all true Christians is the one, only Lord God. Then we see in Isaiah 41:4, God says, "Who has wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and with the last, I am he." Here, the design of his question is to direct attention to the fact that all this has been done by God. Who has wrought and done it? He did it. God did it. I am he, calling the generations from the beginning. What that means is commanding, directing, ordering, governing the world from the beginning. and I will do it to the very end. Or governing, commanding, directing, ordering all nations. What he's saying there is all nations are under my control. They are under my control. We need to hear that today. All nations are under God's control. So what he was saying here is to this unchanging and eternal God who had control, who has control over all the nations, that God's people would commit themselves with unwavering confidence to him and be assured that he is able to protect them and deliver them. We need to hear that today, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. This concept is repeated throughout Isaiah. Isaiah 40, we hear these words. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood? Isaiah 41, that they may see and know and consider and understand together. Isaiah 45, 6, that they may know, that they may know. And God saying that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Then he went on to say, before me there was no God formed. And the sense of this is that there was no other God beside him. He is the only true eternal God. And the first being, he derived his existence from no one. Now there was an opinion among the Greeks that the same gods had not always reigned, but that the more ancient divinities were expelled by the more modern ones. Well, it seems to be that God's refuting this and saying that I was not succeeded by any other God in my kingdom. No one came before me, no one will come after me. His dominion was, is, and always will be original, undivided, and independent. And he said, neither shall there be after me. He will never vacate his throne for another. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Then we go on to verse 11 of Isaiah 43. God said, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Notice the repetition there. I, even I. And that's emphatic. That is doubled for the confirmation of it and to exclude all other lords or gods. I, even I, am the Lord. I am Jehovah, the self-existing, eternal, immutable being. I am the Lord, and God's the one true God. This aspect of oneness, one true living God, serves as the basis for prohibiting the worship of other gods. There shall be no other gods before me. I, even I, am the Lord. And then he goes on to say, beside me there is no Savior. The Bible tells us clearly, salvation is of the Lord. All salvation must come from God. We cannot look to anyone else for salvation. It must come from God. If you want to obtain deliverance from a temporal ill or any kind of trouble or even from eternal death, you must seek it from God. From God. There's no one who can save you from sin or from hell but the Lord Jesus Christ. Beside me, there is no Savior. And lastly, we come to verse 12, the last verse in our passage, Isaiah 43, 12. I have declared and have saved and I have showed. Now, this just emphasizes what we've been saying all along. I have declared, God said, I've predicted the future and have saved. I have shown you my mighty power of deliverance, and I have showed that I am God. This is emphasizing. This is what he was saying to Israel, and he's saying to his people, I've declared, I've predicted future events. I know the end from the beginning. And I have saved. I've shown my mighty power of deliverance. I've shown you that I am God. Then he closes with this, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Ye are my witnesses that I am God. Now we have to stop here and ask, well, what is a witness? Well, a witness is somebody who testifies, gives evidence, unfolds, clears up, makes plain, helps men to right decisions in cases of disputed claims. And this word is a very strong word, this word term witness. And so when God says, ye are my witnesses, this is what he was saying. You are my people who stand out for the truth. You avow and declare the truth firmly. You are unawed by fear. You're unmoved by flattery. You're inflexible to all blandishments or sweet talk, praise, coaxing, enticement. You're above all price, whom money cannot buy. Sophistry, which is deception or dishonesty, trickery, cannot disturb you. You tell the truth at any cost. This is what it means to be a witness. When God said, ye are my witnesses. Now in this verse, God summons his people Israel to bear witness to him. He challenged them, come forward, testify that I have wrought splendid deliverances on your behalf. But not only that, I have foretold things which were far in the future. And this charge, not only did he give to Israel, but he is giving it to his church today. He demands that we bear witness to him. To this end were you born. For this cause you came into the world, to bear witness unto the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He said, I am the truth. So when we bear witness unto the truth, we're bearing witness unto the Lord Jesus. Now we have to qualify, because not everybody can be a witness for the Lord. Only those who are in sympathy with God and living in accordance with his holy will are qualified to bear witness to his truth. That's very important that you hear that. And how do people bear witness for God? Well, the obvious way is by their voice, by the living voice. Another way is by eloquence of a holy life. And this is probably one of the most powerful testimonies, is a holy life, also by active service in his cause. But I want you to hear this last one, by patient resignation when called to suffer for the truth. Charles Spurgeon said this, the prophets, the apostles, the reformers, the Huguenots, the Covenanters, the men of the Mayflower, and some in our own country have stood bravely and endured their sufferings nobly when the fierce tide of persecution set in against them. They were witnesses for God by their patient resignation when called to suffer for the truth. Now, we see God saying, you are my witnesses, but sad to say, not everyone in the church of today, not all of God's people are witnesses for him. Many are witnesses against him. How is that so? Through their idolatry, people looking to the government for handouts, people looking to political figures, people looking to preachers, people looking to money and the world for help when they should be looking to God. Idolatry. Look, listen to what the pulpit commentary said. Idolatry is either a negation of God or an utter misrepresentation and degradation of him. Take money-loving preachers, for example. Their idol is money. They have idolatry. they're committing the sin of idolatry. Well, they are witnesses against God. They're a negation of God, an utter misrepresentation of Him, a degradation of Him. Also, another class of those who are witnesses against Him are those who profess to know Him and their lifestyle say another thing. They're hypocrites. Well, listen to the pulpit commentary, what it has to say on this. The witnesses against God, whose testimony is most dishonoring to Him and at the same time most injurious to mankind, are the unworthy professors of belief in Him. To confess God with the lips while denying Him in the life is to do Him the greatest disservice that is possible. It is to insult God by a mock acknowledgement, a lip service in which the heart has no part. It is to admit His claim to allegiance and to cast off our allegiance in the same breath. The Christian religion would, it is probable, have long ere this overspread the world had it not been for the vicious lives of professing Christians. So Christianity would have covered the world by this time if it wasn't for the witnesses against God, those who were hypocrites, who confessed God with their lips, but they denied Him in their life. Oh, are you a witness for God or against Him today? Now, in closing, we want to look at this call, this charge. God is saying, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Christians, as Christians, we are called to give evidence in the favor of our God. How can we do that? Well, let's look at this point. In the world today, the world mocks the idea of people praying to God, believing, and He answers them. They mock that. They don't believe that you can pray and God answers prayer, that He interposes on behalf of a man in answer to believing prayer. Okay, well, let's ask George Mueller of Bristol whether God answers prayer. He had 3 orphan houses containing no less than 1,150 orphan children, and he was entirely supported by funds sent in answer to prayer. He told no one of his needs except God Almighty, and God came through to every prayer that he prayed. Oh, hallelujah. Another thing that the world says, they have this theory about the joyfulness of a true believer's life. They believe that Christians are a very miserable bunch. They don't think that we really are a joyful group. That they think that we just took on religion from the necessity of a naturally melancholy disposition. Well, let me ask you, what is your testimony? My Christian brother and sister, do you, when you go to church on Sunday during the worship service, do you have to be coaxed into praising God? Do you have to be coerced? I mean, to be joyful? You know, are you one of these that, well, kind of move me? I need somebody to move me. You know, you're supposed to be giving evidence in favor of your God. Where is your joy? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. As a Christian, you should be full of joy and show the world that I'm not a miserable part of that miserable bunch. No, sir. I have great joy in what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Another thing, when we look at the world says that Christianity has reached its prime, though it had an influence upon the world at one time, but now it's going down. It's not true that Christianity has lost its power. And we have to make this clear as the noonday. We have to make it clear. The Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. We must show the world that we serve a supernatural God, a God of signs and wonders. The signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word, that we believe when we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Miracles happen all the time for us. We have to show the world that. How about this? Can faith in the blood of Jesus Christ really give calm and peace to the mind? Well, let me ask you, when you felt like you were you reached a dark valley in your life, or you thought you were about to lose your mind, oh, I can testify, there were times when under such attack of the enemy, but I cried out to the blood of Jesus, and Jesus covered me and brought calm and peace to my mind. Oh yes, can I get a witness on this? The blood has not lost its power. Hallelujah. What about the ultimate results of present affliction? The world holds a theory that God is a very often exceedingly unkind God. He's severe to the best of men. What do you say to that? Well, I'm going to stand up and give a testimony. Oh, as I look back on my Christian walk, my life with Jesus Christ, it was in the darkest valley. It was at the times when it was so hard, when things were coming at me from all sides. It was then that I felt God the strongest, and I saw Jesus there. I'm face to face. I met him. His power was there. His presence was there for me. Oh, I know it sounds crazy, but some of those times, now I look back and I could say they were the best times of my life, because God was so real to me at that time. And lastly, can Christ help a man to die well or not? Well, we'll prove that when the time comes. But I want to testify that I was at my father's bedside when he was about to step into eternity. He got saved on his deathbed. And in those final moments, my older sister was quoting John 11:25-26, saying, I am the resurrection and the life. And she went on with the passage of scripture. And I wasn't saved at the time, but I saw my father choose Jesus, step into eternity with his Savior forever. And I want to tell you, this had such an impact on my life that 6 months later, I got saved. I said goodbye to the devil, the world, the flesh, and sin, and I took hold of Jesus Christ. Ye are my witnesses, God said. He said, I'm calling you. I'm commissioning you to be my witnesses. Oh, what is God saying to you as a Christian? This is what he's saying. Act like I'm God. Live like I'm God. Pray like I'm God. Praise like I'm God. Preach like I'm God. Don't be a witness against me, but be a witness for me, for I am God. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that there would be a stirring in your people, Lord, and they would be receiving right now the charge, the command that you're calling us to testify, to give evidence that you are God to this lost and dying world, that we would be the church, the church would rise up and be the church in this final hour, and we would show that we serve a true and living God. Lord, help us that we would be witnesses for you. Convict those today that have been witnesses against you. In your name I pray. Amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.